cross for us, that we might have life. Not only that, but that we might have life to the fullest. That we might be able to spend eternity in your presence, seeing your face. What an amazing thing that'll be. We give you praise this morning. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Josiah, for that incredible song. As you're sitting, you can grab your Bibles, turn to Psalm 134. I'll just get rid of all my extra stuff here. There we are. As we continue our Songs for Life series in the book of Psalms, for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to bring us to a section of the Psalms called the Songs of Ascent. And I'll explain what that means in a second. I don't know if you knew this or not. You probably do. There are many different sections of Psalms that are grouped together. For example, Psalm 119 is a section of songs. And there's a whole bunch of different sections. This section from Psalm 120 to 134 is what are called the Songs of Ascent. And in fact, if you look in your Bible, the heading on each one of them is something like a Song of Ascents. And as we get into this passage this morning, I just want to really quickly talk about what that means. And here's the picture. You know how you're driving to church on a Sunday morning? Or you're thinking about your worship time on Sunday morning on Saturday night? And maybe you'll put on some worship music. Maybe you'll read your scripture. You'll spend some time in prayer as you get yourself ready to worship. That's what these songs are about. Psalm 120 to 134. They are songs to prepare, originally the Israelites, but us, to come to worship. They're songs to prepare your heart. And here's the picture. If you flip really quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, you'll see what's going on here. So in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, I didn't put it up on the screen, so turn with it if you can. If not, I'll read it for you. God gives this command to the Israelites. He says, 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of the Tabernacles. Okay, he said, no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each one must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. So each man, each family is supposed to be represented in these three feasts with a portion, with an offering, as we call it today, of what God has blessed them. And the whole idea is that these three feasts, amongst a whole lot of others that they do, by the way, are a time for you to come to the Lord in worship. And these three feasts happen to take place inside the city of Jerusalem. Now, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you know that it's kind of up on a hill. And the picture in the Songs of Ascent is that the people of Israel are ascending to the city of Jerusalem to come to one of these three feasts. And this is what they're singing. They're singing Psalms 120 to 134. So for example, some of them are really short, some of them are longer. The one this morning we're going to talk about is only 3 verses long. So here is an example of what the Israelites would be singing as they are ascending the hill to Jerusalem to praise God, to worship God. They would sing, praise the Lord, all you servants of Israel. This is Psalm 134, verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Do you do that? Again, the picture, Sunday morning, you're driving in your car. Do you put on a worship CD? Do you put on CHRI? Do you read scripture on Sunday morning to prepare yourself for worship here? I hope you do. I try to. I mean, I'll admit, I don't every week. And the weeks that I don't, I really feel it when we get to this point in the service. But I hope you take advantage of that time to prepare your heart for how the Spirit's going to work in your heart in this time. So this morning, as we look at this Psalm 134, at this Song of Ascent, The idea behind this psalm, this song, is to prepare your hearts to praise God as you're coming to offer your offering. We've already done that this morning. We've made offering twice, really. In fact, we made offering even beyond putting money in a plate. We've made offering of praise. We've made offering of remembrance. We've made offering of our time this morning. But my question to start out with is this. What is praise? If you go to the dictionary, of course, it's a definition, and I've listed a bunch of synonyms here. It's adoration, it's thanksgiving, it's worship, it's appreciation. If you go on with that list as well, you can include words like glorify or extol or bless or magnify or things to put value in. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines praise as this: to express a favorable judgment of, or the word they use is commend, or the second one is to glorify, especially by the attribution of perfections, right? Or to express an expression of approval. But I think Merriam-Webster kind of misses the point, right? In order to offer praise, you need to offer praise to something or someone. And how often do we do that in our lives? Let me just start here with this question. They're asking, what is praise? Let me ask the second question. What are some things in your life, in my life, that I do praise? We praise a good donut, don't we? We praise a great episode of TV. What are some other words here? We give adoration to beautiful people, right? We glorify people that we think are celebrities. We put value in so many things, right? We put value in money. We put value in so many things, and again, when we do that to things that aren't God, we are praising those things. As I was looking in the dictionary, one of the definitions of this first to express favorable judgment of, the definition the explanation was, the sentence was, good job, Jimmy, for what you did. Right? The idea is that we praise someone for what they do. And I get that. Because I think we do praise God that way for what he's done for us. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's what we should be doing. But I think, again, the dictionary definition and the worldly definition of praise kind of misses the point. My personal definition would be something like this. Praise is giving God what's due to him in light of what he's done for us. Praise is giving God what's due to him in light of what he's done for us. Now, again, I don't mean that to sound like we put the onus on what God has done for us, and that's why we praise him. But the central point of praise is giving God his due. Giving God what's owed to him. In Psalm 96, verse 8, the psalmist writes, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Praise isn't just words, it's also an action. Our praise to God is reflected in how we live our daily lives. That's why, again, in these Psalms of Ascent, it's not just the act of praising God, it's the act of preparing your heart to bring your offering to God. There is a physical action involved in praise. And I believe there should be physical action involved in our praise as well. There's three things I want to look at this morning about this idea of praise. The first one is this. Praise is costly. Now you're thinking to yourself, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean that there is a cost to praising God. Hebrews 13, verse 15. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise." What is the sacrifice? Well, the writer says this. The sacrifice is the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. The sacrifice is this, that we don't spend time focusing on ourselves, but that we spend time focusing on professing God's name, professing the name of Jesus. Old Testament sacrifice, by the way, was a form of praise. It was a form of physical praise where the Israelites would be called by God to bring a goat or an ox or whatever it would be and offer it as a physical sacrifice. What we celebrated this morning already was a physical offering of praise from the heart of Jesus to his Father. This was Jesus offering himself as a sacrifice so that we might have a right relationship with God. What does praise cost us? It costs us ourselves, first of all. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. What does Paul say? This, offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, giving up yourself, this is your true and proper worship. Praise is costly. It costs us our life. It costs us how we look at the world. It costs us how we view the things of this world. I'm going to go through these really quickly here as well. Time. Praise costs us time. We're here this morning. This is our time. You could be doing any number of other things Sunday mornings. You could be bringing your kids to hockey. You could be bringing your kids to swimming lessons. You could be watching Australian rules football right now on TSN, right? You could be doing any other number of other things, but you've decided to come here. This is your time. You've sacrificed your time to come and praise God. People sacrificed their time last night to come and praise God by serving people in our community. People sacrificed their time last Sunday afternoon to serve people in our community. People are going to sacrifice a whole lot of their time in the next couple of weeks at camp, and I praise God for that. But these things take time out of our stuff that we might want to do otherwise. And you know what? Sacrificing our time is probably the least of our worries, isn't it? Because the more time we offer to God, the more time we draw closer to God. We sacrifice our fun. Is it always fun to come to church? Is it always fun to spend our quiet time with God every day? Is it always fun to pray? Maybe not. But we do it because it's part of our praise to God. It's a discipline of the disciple of Christ. I got to tell you, sometimes it's hard to praise God. Sometimes it's hard to worship God. Sometimes there are circumstances in our life where we just say, God, I don't want to take the time. It's not fun for me to worship you right now. But the true Christian, the true follower of Jesus will be so disciplined as a disciple that they'll do it because they know it's part of their makeup, part of their relationship with God. I actually asked some youth this question a couple of weeks ago. What does it mean, or what does it cost us when we praise God? And one of them gave, I found, the most profound answer. And sometimes they do that, right? Sometimes teenagers are pretty good at thinking about things. And he said this. He said, my praise costs me my pride. I was like, Michael, can you explain that a little bit? And he talked about how it is so humble to come before the Creator God that we can't help but lose ourselves, lose our pride. And it got me thinking about, you know, times in my life where I've kind of been in that situation before, even in a human standpoint. Some of you might know this or not, but prior to coming here to Ottawa, I was in radio for a while. And in radio, you get to interview people. And when I first started at the radio station in Kitchener, I actually wrote down three names of people that are kind of on my bucket list to interview. One of them is you two. I would never be able to do that, and I knew that. Another one was a guy named Aaron Sprinkle. He's a producer in Christian music and used to be part of one of my favorite bands when I was growing up. Never got the opportunity to do that. But the third guy was a guy named Jason Martin. Jason Martin is the guy behind a band called Starflyer 59. They are this incredible like alternative music act. Most of you probably wouldn't like it, but I really do because it's loud. Anyways, and one day it just so happened that somebody put on a music festival in Kitchener and Starflyer was on the bill. And I thought, wow, I got to take advantage of that, you know. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've met like an idol of yours before. I was 23 at the time, and I had one of those, you know, old handheld tape recorder things. And here I am. So he did this concert in Kitchener, and then he had another one the next night in Toronto. So it was actually at the Toronto show that I got to interview him. It was at Lee's Palace in Toronto. And so after the show, he and I went out to the back beside the dumpster, you know, and here I am interviewing him. I recorded that on the recorder, and I made it into an MP3, and I have it on a CD. This week, I was thinking about that. I went back and listened to it, and you could just tell in my voice just how nervous I was in those 4 minutes of conversation. And I believe that's a picture of this thing called pride. We ought to have nervousness in our voice when we come before our Creator God. We ought to be humble enough to know that God is so much greater than us that we can't have pride in our life if we come to worship Jesus. Our praise costs us our pride. Our praise puts us into the place where we know we should be. It's so humbling to offer praise to someone else. It shows us the person we're praising, God, is better, is more, is greater than us. One of the other things Michael said, by the way, he said, because of our pride, sometimes it's easier for us to hide our relationship with Jesus before others than it is to live a life of praise. I thought that was so profound too. Sometimes we hide our faith because we're so proud. Sometimes we don't live a life of praise before other people because we might think that we have a crutch in our life. Because they might think that we need to be leaning on God. And you know what? It's so true. We need Jesus in our life. We need God to lead our lives. I wouldn't call it a crutch as much as I would call it a shoulder to lean on. We do need to humble ourselves before the Lord, as James 4 says. And lastly, in this part, it causes us our sadness. And I put that in there because of our movie last night. If you were here last night, we watched the movie Inside Out. And the point of this movie is there's this girl who is growing up, and in the movie it shows, you know, the inside of her mind and all of her emotions. And each emotion has a different character. So there's joy, there's sadness, there's anger, there's a few more, disgust, yeah, there's a few more. But the climax of the movie is when Joy figures out that the girl doesn't always need to be happy. And sometimes in the girl's life, it takes sadness for her to overcome. It takes sadness for her to realize the good things in her life. And I love that. I love how that movie teaches kids that emotions are real, that it is okay to be sad. But what happens to the person who's continually complaining about the problems and challenges of life? They only focus on those things. They'll lose sight of their eternal destiny. They may become pessimistic and even depressed. And if we are continually praising God, that's the part of sadness that we lose. Because in no way can we continually be praising God for what He's done for us and how He's worked in our life and how He's made creation around us, can we be continually pessimistic. We'll see in our next point too, a person who's praising God will lose their sadness. What else do we lose? Sometimes we give up our talents for God. Sometimes we give up our friends for God or a job or money. God calls us to praise Him more than anything else. Praise Him more than money. Praise Him more than friends. Praise Him more than your job. Praise Him more than any of these things we've listed here. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly seek His praises. No matter what you do, no matter how you feel in life, continually to seek God's praises. So praise is costly. Praise, secondly, changes our perspective. I love this book, Purpose-Driven Life. That came out in 2003. Can you believe that? This book is, what's that, 16 years old now? I love this book because of the very first line in this book. If you turn to, this is a 40-day devotional. If you turn to day one, the title is, It All Starts With God. The very first sentence that Rick Warren writes in this book, if you can see it, it's right here. He says, it's not about you. Right? It's not about you. Our life is not about us. My life is not about me. It's not about you. It's about our praise, our honor to God. It's about our life lived in glory to God. So praise redirects our focus. One author said it this way, praise is not something that we do in order to get God's approval so that he will grant our desires. When we praise God, we are changed, even if our circumstances are not. While God isn't present, God is present everywhere at all time, he is present in a special way when his people praise him. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the overflow of our hearts, the mouth speaks. Words are the expressions of our heart. We all have tiring days. We all have setbacks and unexpected expenses. As believers, we can choose to find strength by praising God rather than sinking in despair. That's the point when I mean we lose our sadness. Regardless of our problems, when we praise God, our focus shifts. We become aware once again of who he is and his love for us. Praise changes our perspective. In his book, Reflections on the Psalms, C.S. Lewis said this. He said, only in acts of worship and praise can a person learn to believe in the goodness and greatness of God. God wants us to praise him not because he needs or craves in any sense our flattery, but because he knows that praise creates joy and thankfulness. So if you are going through tough circumstances, if you are going through sadness in your life, that's okay, but continue to praise God. The tough circumstances, the sadness might not stop, but your perspective definitely will. The way you think about your circumstance, the way you think about the world around you will change. When we praise God, we become more grateful for the things that God has provided for us. Change your focus. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Who fits all those bills? Jesus does. Right? So when things are going wrong, when things are going bad, when circumstances just seem to be getting worse and worse, think about Jesus. Think about what he's done for you. Praise his name. Praise is costly. Praise changes our perspective. Finally, praise leads us to God's presence. This might seem like a pretty simple point to think about. Of course, if we're praising God, we're gonna be more drawn to God. If we're praising, you know, LeBron James, we're going to focus on LeBron James more and more. If we're praising Taylor Swift, we're going to focus on Taylor Swift more and more. I don't know why you'd do that, but anyways. If we praise God more and more, we're going to focus on God more and more. I love how Psalm 104 and 5 puts it. The psalmist says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Again, there's an action to praise. We're entering God's presence. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Here's the thing we need to remember about praise. And this is the humble part about praising God, by the way. We don't bring God's presence when we worship him. It's not like when you shake the dog treat box and then your dog comes running into you, running into the kitchen. God doesn't work that way. When we come here on Sunday mornings and we sing praise, we give our offering, God's not running to us waiting to accept our praise. No, friends, it's in fact the opposite. When we enter God's presence, we enter God's presence when we praise him. We enter His domain when we praise Him. We are the dog in this picture. We are the ones who are honored to be in the presence of God. Friends, as Psalm 100 says, it's us who enters His gates. Oftentimes we pray, you know, Holy Spirit, come. It's okay to pray that way, but the Holy Spirit's already here. We don't need to pray to ask God to come and join us in worshiping Him. We need to ask God to open His gates and allow us to come into His presence as we worship Him. We need to be asking God to allow us to come to His gates, to open His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We are the ones to be honored to be in the presence of God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, Psalm 84 says. Goes on to say, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Friends, that's got to be our picture. That we are knocking on the door of Jesus, asking Him to open it for us. You know what Revelation says? That if we knock on Jesus' door, He will open it. Jesus isn't like you and I, where we're down in the basement watching TV and we hear the doorbell. We think, I don't want to go all the way upstairs to open the door. It's just Amazon dropping off a package. Right? It's just the mailman. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus wants to go see the Amazon guy. Jesus wants to go see the mailman, and He will open the door. Our praise draws us closer to Him. If we're constantly thinking about how our lives are praising Him and all we do, our focus will be on Him. We'll not be distracted by our sin or our circumstances. Friends, hear this. The more we focus our lives on Jesus, the more we will find ourselves in His presence. I've listed a whole bunch of verses from Psalm there. Psalm 34, 63, 70, and so on. I'd love for you to spend some time this week looking up those Psalms. And they all have to do with the same theme. For example, here's Psalm 34, verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What would your world, what would your life look like if you could say that? Because I don't know about you, in my life, I got to work hard to do that. I'd be lying to you if I said every moment, every day, God's praise is on my lips. Because there's times when I'm interacting with my kids, and they're doing something nuts, and you put that dad hat on, and you're not really praising God. There's times in my life where maybe I'm interacting with other people, or maybe I'm watching the basketball game, and the Raptors are losing, and I put that Raptors fan hat on, and I'm not praising God. I mean, those are kind of silly examples, but you get the point. What would life look like if we were to praise Him continually? If we were to have praise come out of our mouths continually? Man, people would be drawn to us, that's for sure. People would see the joy, people would see the change that Jesus has brought in our lives. What an amazing picture that would be. I'm going to ask Josiah to come up as we prepare for our last song today. And let me just say this. If you're here this morning and you haven't experienced the joy in your life that only Jesus can offer, if you haven't experienced a time in your life when you've just felt the presence of God because of your praise, maybe it's because you haven't accepted Jesus. Maybe it's because you haven't come to the point in your life where you realize that you are in a place of separation from your Creator. Maybe you've realized you're in a place where, you know, your sin, your actions have just overcome who you are. And you need to feel God's presence. You need to know God's presence. It's not just a feeling. I shouldn't say that. You need to know God's presence. You need to be in relationship with Jesus. There's real joy in relationship with Christ. There's real freedom in what Jesus has done for us. And friends, this morning it would be my prayer that each one of us would know that freedom. We just sang that a little while ago. be my prayer this morning that each one of us would know the joy that we could have in the presence of God. The joy, the true joy it is to praise God. If you're here this morning and you need that, if you're here this morning and you've never experienced that, I'd love to talk to you about that. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day when you come to know Jesus. Today is the day that He's offering to you. Today's the day, as we read, that He's opened His gates to your heart. Won't you walk in? Father God, we thank You for allowing us to come before You with praise. Despite our sin, despite all the bad stuff we've done in life, we thank you that we can put our pride aside. We thank You that we can put self aside and come before You as children of You, knowing that You're there willing to accept our praise, willing to forgive us of our sin. We thank You for that, God. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.